Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's Cowboys game day. But does it feel like that? 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line if you want to get involved in the show or on the Twitch or the YouTube. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You've got Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, Alec Medford, and joining us today from RJ Duke Sports in McKinney, Ryan Larson, who is one of the winners of our Do a Show with KNC. Shameless plug, a week from Wednesday, we will do Peace-a-thon again, and we will have a couple more of those auctions up if you want to do a show with us.
Seems like
a
good time to do this then. Like this season, yes. Y'all scheduled this perfectly to have him on today since Peace-a-thon's next week. Smart work, guys. I'm proud of y'all.
There was never any rescheduling.
No. Yeah. This is definitely not at least the third time we've set this up. Mm-hmm. All right. So, gentlemen, well, first of all, thank you very much for coming on the show. I know we're going to do a reveal later with some Peace-a-thon items and talk some cards, which is why Mike's here on a game day.
Okay, so here's my question about this game day. This is a serious question, even though it's going to sound sarcastic and mean. There are 72,000 people at the Tyson fight. Do you think there'll be 72,000 people at the game in the fourth quarter?
No. No, I don't think I do, just because I guess I hope I'm wrong. Part of me does not think this will be close, and it might be what the Texans need to fix their offense, especially in the second half, and then a lot of people will leave. So I'll go with no. I hope I'm wrong about that.
There's 90,000 at the game?
Something like that, yeah.
So that would be 20,000. Do you think 20,000 people will have left by the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I think there are going to be a lot of empty seats in that place late in that game, and I'm actually pretty surprised how many people are going to be at that are Cowboys fans specifically? Because I feel like there's going to be a lot of Texans fans filling that place.
What do you think it's going to be, like 50-50?
I think it's going to be 60-40 Texans fans.
Oh, my gosh.
I really do. I think Cowboys fans are that depressed and hurt right now about what's happening on the field. They don't want to show up and watch Cooper Rush play football. They want to show up to see Dak Prescott. They'll show up to see Trey Lance. Because that's a different type of show, but they don't want to show up and see Cooper Rush. I'm hurt to say that, but that's the type of season that the Cowboys put themselves in this year.
And somebody brought this up straight away. It doesn't feel like a Cowboys game day. It feels like a Stars game day. Now, Stars do play tonight, and I believe they play the Ducks of Anaheim. And I'm not going to lie. I'm probably more interested in that game. I mean, I'll watch the Cowboys game, of course, or you can listen to it right here on 105.3 The Fan. But
the outcome?
It doesn't feel like a game day. Like, I wasn't driving up to the studio today. Like, I'm always excited to do the show. But I wasn't driving up to the studio going, hell yeah, Cowboys game day. I just thought, okay. I hope we don't lose too badly.
You watch Buffalo yesterday. You watched.
Man, that game was fun.
Pittsburgh and Baltimore yesterday.
The game was less fun. Yeah, but
even still, but you're watching the top teams in the NFL go at it, and you're like, you're not part of that conversation right now.
It's the tackling, honestly. I know people are going to talk about the offense because Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. Josh Allen looks like now he has the inside track. on MVP, Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. But watching it, it was the tackling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was like, that's a whole different level from anything that we do here in Dallas and Arlington.
Yeah, and that's the Cowboys that put themselves in that place, almost intentionally, it feels like. Especially whenever you're watching Michael Irvin sit next to Jerry Jones and he's like, I'm going to talk about his new head coach here soon. While the other one still has games to play. The other one still has games to play.
Look, we set the precedent with Peterson yesterday that you can absolutely be fired and pretend to keep coaching. All right? The Jags lost by 60.
Is he pretending to keep coaching, though?
I think he is. I think he's doing a Sudoku in his office.
I think so, too.
Talking about how he's game planning for the next one. And he's like, I can't control if I got fired. You're fired, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether it happens today or in 6 weeks, it's over.
That helped out my T-Law just a little bit.
Because they got
just to show
so
like
bad.
How maybe I'm not trying to defend him. He's having a horrible year. He's having honestly a disappointing career. But that does help out a little bit when he's not there and they lose by 50.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is how bad of an organization, how bad of a team he has. Yet he is also playing bad this year, too.
And so there's a couple of texts already that I was like, man, I don't know if the Cowboys will admit that they're concerned about this. But from the 214, Cowboys season ticket holder, definitely not going tonight. From the 940, this is how checked out I am. This morning, I was wondering who plays tonight.
Ooh.
And then other people recommending that you should just go to eBay or Facebook and sell your tickets and maybe opposing fans will be interested.
This is a wonderful night to turn on the fan. Leave it on.
True.
Have other things that you're doing while you just listen to the game. So you don't have to burn your eyes seeing the atrocity that might happen in front of you.
So what you're saying is I could start putting all the Peace-a-thon stuff into the Excel spreadsheet while listening on the fan.
While listening to Brad Sham and Babe Laufenberg.
If I drift out every now and again, it's probably okay.
Exactly.
All right.
I went to eBay. The first two things that pulled up were two lower-level Dallas Cowboys versus Houston Texans tickets plus parking pass. Best offer or buy it now for $600.
Wow, lower level and a parking pass? Parking pass like $75.
So I'm guessing they would take $500 for those two tickets and the parking pass. I mean, they want $600, but I'm sure if you offered $500, you could go to the game.
So if you're interested and you didn't
win
tickets on the
fan. Which is probably below face value, to be honest.
I bet that is accurate.
These tickets are selling below face value on eBay. Here's four amazing club seats. Dallas Cowboys versus Houston Texans on Monday night. It says $240 local pickup.
Okay.
Are tickets in the 400s usually on a Monday night like $60?
I think they're more expensive.
I feel like
than
it's
that.
90 for, yeah. for
Game Time has all those 300s and 400s for like 50, 65.
I think
bucks.
Standing room only is 90 or 80, right?
And if it's you could wait it out a few more hours,
there you go.
Then you could probably get
there's
it. Even
there's a lot of them up on Game Time.
Hold
right
on.
Now.
I know what to do. I've heard Corey's commercial. Wait until kickoff.
Exactly.
And then buy the tickets and they'll go drastically
down
in price.
If you let Game Time choose for you, you get even more off. So there you go.
Okay. See, I like it. Now, with all that being said, I know this is going to be difficult. And Ryan, if you want to help us out here, that would be great because I don't know how many great answers we've come up with. Cowboys win because, Cowboys lose because. And you have to do both. And you cannot say because there's some sort of natural disaster or some such is why the Cowboys win. You have to give me an actual football reason that the Cowboys could win tonight.
I mean, Cowboys win, I suppose, because Houston collectively ate some bad clams.
No, outside...
I have a question.
Answers allowed. It has to be something that happens on the football field.
Has there ever been a football player to eat clams right before the football game?
That is a question I have. I mean, it feels like the odds are probably, but I have no idea. So this is what I went with. If you don't like it, I did my best. Cowboys win because Dallas gets to the quarterback once again. Now, this is actually something that I think they could have a shot at. The Cowboys sacked Jalen Hurts 5 times in the first half last week. And then you take a look at C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud has been sacked 34 times in 10 games, which is the second most in the league, behind only Caleb Williams. I guess going into the weekend, it was the second most, because I know obviously everybody else has played. Stroud has lost the most yards to sacks in the season. He's been sacked on 10% of his passing attempts. Compare that to Jordan Love, 2.8%. So Like when CJ Stroud drops back to pass, their offensive line is bad. And you did get a look at like what an optimized Cowboys defense could do in terms of getting the quarterback. This is what I actually think is their most realistic shot, is just harassing CJ Stroud and that offensive line all day.
I mean, I'm not trying to, I know this is a mom's take this the wrong way, but the Cowboys win because, and I'm not saying they should try to do this, it just happens. CJ Stroud goes out of the game early.
Okay, yeah.
That's the Cowboys win because
and Houston I hope that has doesn't to, happen.
Houston,
yeah.
Houston is not preparing for their backup quarterback to play this game.
Agreed.
I get he gets in, you know, 10% of the reps or whatever. Cooper Rush got in a lot of the reps, and then you had Trey Lance get in some. So Cowboys win
Davis
because
Mills is pretty good though for a backup.
I know, but I'm just saying there's no way to beat them. It's impossible. This Cowboys team cannot beat the Houston Texans if CJ Stroud is going to play the majority of the game. So, or I guess you have it close, and then in the third quarter, something happens. He gets a cramp or something.
Oh, cramps. I like that.
Yeah, and he
that's
can't
it right
play.
There. The yeah. game has to be low scoring.
Yeah.
This is not going to happen for the Cowboys unless this game is low scoring.
It's tough to look at that last game and think it could be anything but that. So I'm definitely with you on that.
And a way to keep that a low scoring game, Rico Dowdle gets his big game. He gets his 25, 30 carries.
Ooh.
The game is bogged down because they're just like, we're committing to the run. That's how the Cowboys win this one.
Okay.
It's low scoring because Rico Dowdle is able to have 4 yards of success every time he touches the ball.
From the see, there's some encouraging, some less encouraging on the text. From the 214, they win because they finally utilized Turpin correctly. From the 5-6-1, they win if hell freezes over.
How do you utilize a guy that has to run 40 yards down the field and then ask to come out of the game because he's not in shape to play football?
Yes, that is a great question. And for the 8-1...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Seven, I care more about Mixon getting me 15 plus points in fantasy than the outcome. All right, this other one should be easier. Cowboys lose because, and I'm going to actually throw it to this. The Texans have lost 3 of their last 4 games. Now, only by a combined 13 points, so it's been close. But part of the reason is they haven't scored a second half touchdown in any of their last 4 games.
Okay.
That changes tonight. And if it does, they have the potential to win this game like pretty emphatically.
Yeah, their offensive play calling has been pretty interesting to see.
Which I'm sure the play caller, don't you think, he's like, what the hell do you want me to do with this line?
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to do?
Doing the best that I can. I'm going to roll out my Cowboys lose because while the backside of McCarthy's play sheet looks like a Waffle House menu, the front side of it looks like the options from Tecmo Bowl. There's really only 4 plays. It's
that jet sweep like
and
that.
Slants, and that's pretty much it for Mike McCarthy. I don't know if he's just given up on calling any good plays. He's not in his bag. We've seen him, you know, with Dak before be really good at play calling and kind of be in a groove, and he's not there at all by any means. And there's a lot of factors for that. But he doesn't look like he enjoys play calling right now.
Back in the day, was there any better feeling than picking the same play defensively and just smashing that person's offensive play? I loved it.
It was
so
Madden
much.
And it was the double blitz. Like that was okay, the one that was the good one.
All right. What say y'all? Why did the Cowboys lose?
They're not close to the talent that
That's
Houston.
Fair.
Like, this isn't fair. The Cowboys have one of the 5 least talented teams in NFL football right now. That's, I think, factual. Yes, Jacksonville is worse. Yes, New England is worse. Yes, probably New York is worse. There's a few teams that are worse than the Cowboys, talent-wise, with what they're putting out on the field tonight. So they can't win. They're a horribly. They have some.
You said can't win?
They can't win.
Okay.
They can only win by the other team getting hurt.
Okay.
And then you try to level out this talent. This is, yeah, Micah Parsons is awesome. CeeDee Lamb is awesome.
True.
There are so many guys on the field that would not start for the majority of other teams. When you're starting people that when you say, hey, would you put Mozzie Smith on your team? The answer for 15 teams is no, they wouldn't even have him on the team.
Yeah.
They'd be like, I'll put him on the practice squad. They took him first round. Maybe we can figure things out through practicing with him that he could be a backup reserve for us next year, but probably not. We'd probably release him too. And there's multiple guys on the team that start that not only wouldn't start for other teams, I'm not sure they would be in the NFL on other teams.
Ryan, what say you?
Well, we know for sure the Cowboys are not going to lose because of the sun. And I'm sure that's the first thing Jerry's going to tell Tom and RJ tomorrow morning.
True.
You know, that'll be a proud point for him.
Do you think the moon will be a factor? The
moon's definitely going to be a huge factor tonight because the clouds are going to clear up around 12:30 or so today, Kevin. So moon will be shining in.
I can't tell you how many professional games I played in where luckily we hit the ball into the moon. And the outfielder lost the ball in the moon.
Because it was the same color as the baseball.
Yep. They were like, do you not know how to shield your eyes from the moon? God.
Man, I really wish we would have known you more when you were playing. Really, just could have chatted with you more. From the 406, Cowboys win because it's a parody league. Sorry, that's the best I can do. From the 940, there isn't a reason that the Cowboys will win. So what I'm learning is not a whole lot of optimism this morning on the Fantex or the Twitch or the YouTube. Although I do like this from the 214. Like Ryan said, Cowboys win because there's no sun at night. I mean, the sun still exists.
Yeah, it's just on the other side of the earth.
Or we're on the other side of the sun.
Dude. It's too early for that kind of thinking,
We have a ticket broker who just texted me.
Oh.
And he is saying, first of all, he does say that regular season standing room only is $35.
Oh, okay.
But he said tickets are at or below season ticket holder prices, which season ticket holder prices obviously are a little bit cheaper than just buying a game on all the major sites. Parking is at the lowest regular season prices that I have seen in about 10 years.
Wow.
Still about 10 to 20% markup on season ticket holder cost. I expect it to get worse for Bengals, but that's just his opinion on the upcoming games. But tonight you can go for below face value.
Yikes.
I wonder if Jerry's ever considered buying up all the tickets when they're that low in price so that his ticket values stay up.
I don't think he cares because they're all sold.
Yeah.
He already got his money.
Yeah.
It's not that these aren't sold. It's a sellout.
It's the secondary market.
That's true. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Houston Texans insider and 6:10 a.m. morning show host Sean Pendergast. Maybe he'll give us the insight about how Reggie's doing. Next on The Fan.
They fake to him. Mixon wanting to go out. Here comes White to the end zone. Caught. Dell. Touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Getting you ready for Cowboys. Texans pregame starts at 4 o'clock right here. And let's turn it over to our Houston Texans insider from the 6:10 a.m. morning show. It is Sean Pendergast. Good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, how we feeling? This is weird for us here because we've not had a Monday night football game since 2019. I know this is like you guys have a Monday night football game like every 3 weeks up there in Dallas. But here, it's very strange for us to have gone through a full Monday and still not talked about how the Texans did yet. So we're adapting and we're very excited about tonight's game.
Let me ask you before we dive more into the game, how is our buddy Reggie doing at your station? And do you think he's talking for 4 hours today about the number one pick in the WNBA draft going to the Dallas Wings?
Oh. No, Reggie is doing – that's hilarious. Reggie, albeit I know a big basketball fan because I've had many private conversations with him since he got here, he is playing the hits. He is doing a great job. He's doing phenomenally. He is a great teammate. We're enjoying Reggie Atitula very much up here – or down here.
Currently, our morning show hosts are having a meeting with our boss, Gavin Spittle. Does Parker also make y'all have meetings every Monday as well?
Well, Parker is on his way up to the game right now.
There you go.
So we do meet on occasion after the show, but not typically we don't on Mondays, thankfully. But no, we do have show meetings, but our boss is kind of like sort of, I guess, playing hooky right now. I mean, I guess technically it's work. He is the PD for the Texans flagship, so he's just going there to see it in person. But no meeting today, thankfully.
Do you want us to scout other people at this station? Because two of our last board ops now play intricate parts at your studio. Do you want me to call you after this and tell you about our producer, Alec, now? Or what do you think?
If I could, do you guys have a website somewhere with a big board on it? I can just go look at that and then ask
sure.
the questions afterwards.
We can definitely work that out. Now, to your original question about how we're doing, not great, Sean. Not great.
It's bad, man. Yeah, it's bad up here.
We're figuring out fun and new ways to try to make this Cowboys team seem interesting. What I wanted to know is, because before he missed some time, he was outstanding. Nico Collins says he'll play against the Cowboys. Could you give us a quick idea of how much that impacts the offense for the Texans?
It's huge. It's huge because the Texans have had, even though they're 6-4, they're in a rut right now where they've lost 3 out of 4. And the big reason for that has been their offensive line has been trash. They cannot protect C.J. Stroud. They've run the football okay with Joe Mixon, but most of that has been Mixon. When this offense was playing its best, I won't say it was humming earlier in the year because they still had some issues, but when they were playing really well, getting off to a 4-1 start, Nico Collins was the best receiver in football. And, guys, he was catching the ball at every level. Short slant, catches him, and then he's yards after the catch. Over the middle, taking big hits, yep, can do that too. The play that he pulled his hamstring on was a 67-yard go route that he just didn't. He just ran a sprint straight off the line and ran right by the Buffalo defense. His evolution the last couple of years has been a joy to watch, and he really. I think the anticipation for us tonight here is that his mere presence on the field makes things a whole lot easier for everybody, not just the other receivers, not just Joe Mixon. Certainly not just C.J. Stroud, but the offensive line, too, that you have a quick game now that you can rely on where, you know, whatever games teams are playing up front on the defensive line don't even have time to develop because you're able to get the ball out quick to Nico.
See, I'm glad we're talking about offense here because this offseason, the whisper, the cute little name was Bobby Slowick as the next guy, the Ben Johnson type that everybody's going to be going after. And I've been trying to figure out, is it just simply because of that offensive line that he can't do what he wants with this offense? Or is there something else that maybe his play calling has changed a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit of both. Look, ultimately the offensive line rolls up to him. So whatever the issue, if that offensive line isn't allowing him to do something he wants to do, that's his problem, you know? So he's got to fix that. I know there's an O-line coach too who's responsible for that. That guy's got to fix it also, Chris Strouser. But yeah, the play calling, the formations, they've been running a lot more stuff that's kind of tighter formations in closer to the hash marks when the feeling is, man, you've got C.J. Stroud. Let's spread things out a little bit. Probably makes it easier on the interior of the offensive line if you spread things out a little bit. And he's been very conservative with his play calling. They've been horrible, Bobby Slowick has, in terms of play calling when he's tried to zig when people think he's going to zag. He's been running on passing downs a lot, and the end result has been that there's no quarterback in football who's been in third and more than 10 yards more than C.J. Stroud. I think the number going into this week, he's been in third and 10 or longer 50 times this year. The next closest one was 37. So they've been forcing C.J. to put a cape on a lot just to keep this offense moving. And the other big thing, guys, that Bobby Slowick is getting a ton of heat for, as you can tell, the shine has come off his star a little bit here for sure. Is they can't score in the second half of football games. It's been four straight games. They haven't scored a touchdown in the second half. If they score a field goal in the second half of that Lions game last Sunday, they probably win. And so that's been another big thing, too, is, you know, whatever the narrative is around halftime adjustments, Bobby Slowick's on the wrong end of that narrative right now.
Now, I promise whatever you say is not going to hurt my feelings. Is there any thought around town that coming up and playing the Cowboys, who've trailed by at least 20 points in 5 straight home games, is just what the doctor ordered for the offense, especially when it comes to the second half?
There is. There definitely is. I mean, I'm about to say things that you guys already know, but like just looking at the numbers on this thing and the number of stats that the Cowboys are in the bottom third, and I'm being nice, a lot of it's like bottom five stuff on defense. It's like, yeah, okay, red zone. We sure have had problems there. The Cowboys are the worst red zone defense in football. You know, running the football, Joe Mixon ran for 46 yards on 25 carries last week. What team would be a great team to play? The Dallas Cowboys, that's who. So there is that feeling. However, the Texans have had a penchant, and we just saw it less than 2 weeks ago against the New York Jets. They had no business losing to the New York Jets on Thursday night a couple weeks ago, and they did. Last season, they went to New York to play the Jets with Zach Wilson at quarterback, and they got blown out. They lost to an Atlanta team that was quarterbacked by Desmond Ridder last season. They were one of Bryce Young's two wins last year. So I know that's last year, this is this year, but it's still from that stamp, it's still the same head coach, it's the same quarterback, it's largely the same cast of characters. This team has shown an inability to put other teams away. So that's why one of my big keys was getting a big lead early in this game, just to take the whatever life is going to be in that building or with the Cowboys out of them, because the Texans have a horrible habit of letting teams stick around and play one-score games with them. And when you're on the road, I don't care who you're playing, it can be a recipe for disaster. So the original answer is yes, we are definitely looking at this as a just with the doctor ordered sort of thing. Within the back of our mind, knowing full well, like, this is a team that plays down to its level of competition. I can't believe they've been a 7.5-point favorite all last week. Like, this Texans have no business being favored by more than a touchdown on the road against anybody right now.
How?
Want to bet?
I mean, yeah, one of our co-hosts thinks there is no hope for the Cowboys this evening. How well do the Texans fans travel? Because that has actually become a big talking point today, is what the configuration of fandom will be at AT&T tonight.
Yeah, I'm hearing, I've been hearing from a lot of Texan fans that are up there. I think they'll be represented pretty well. I don't think it's going to be to the extent it was back in 2014, where Tony Romo was using a silent count at home.
Yeah.
Merely just because of the logistics. Well, for one, I think some of the starch has been taken out of this game by the Cowboys being 3-6 for some folks, and the Texans being in this little rut too. I think it's taken some of it. It's also a Monday night game, not a Sunday afternoon game. So logistically, people are, you know, you're having to take half the week off if you want to go to that game right before the holidays. So I think the Texans will be well represented. But not to the extent that it's going to impact, Cooper Rush's ability to get his ability to make play calls and identify the Mike linebacker and things like that.
For the Cowboys, DeMarvin Overshown's been pretty much the highlight of the defense,
yeah.
Kevin. And on the Texans' defensive side of the ball, it seems like y'all's linebackers are kind of the show for what y'all do. Is that the cornerstone of what this defense is?
I would say that and the pass rush, which that, you know, you guys are going to catch a Texans team with no Will Anderson.
Yeah.
He literally won AFC Defensive Player of the Month, and then 6 hours later was getting, you know, walked off the field by two of his teammates because he got his ankle rolled in that Jets game. He's been one of the best defensive players in football when he's been on the field, and he unlocks a lot of things that the Texans can do defensively because of how much attention he draws. Now, they still got Daniil Hunter. DeNico Autry is back from his suspension. He's played really well the last couple of games. So they do have some capable guys rushing the passer. That was the recipe in that Lions game. They didn't sack Jared Goff in that game, but they applied pressure nearly half the time they got back there. That was a big reason he went 15 for 30 in that game. But yeah, the linebackers too, Azeez Al-Shaair, who they brought in from Tennessee, who was with DeMeco Ryans in San Francisco, has been excellent, you know, going sideline to sideline there. And then the big one to watch, guys, for tonight will be for tonight's game in terms of, like, inactives before the game, will be Kamari Lassiter, the rookie cornerback out of Georgia,
yeah,
that the Texans took. Yes, he got concussed by some friendly fire from Jimmy Ward in that Sunday night game. And he practiced on Saturday and was limited and practicing on Saturday does not necessarily mean he's going to play. Henry Toa, who's one of the Texans linebackers, was in concussion protocol a few weeks ago. He practiced the last day of the week before a game and then didn't play. But the reason why this is so important is when Lassiter is playing, and he's been excellent this year, and Derek Stingley Jr. on the other side has been excellent this year, that's what allows DeMeco Ryans to really, if he wants to dial up blitzes and things like that, because he's got two guys that you can put on an island with wide receivers and feel pretty good about, okay, if the quarterback gets the ball out, you know, this isn't going to turn into some disastrous play. So that'd be the one to keep an eye on the defensive side for the Texans heading into tonight. Is Kamari Lassiter active in this game? If he's active in this game, I think it's already going to be a long night for the Cowboys offensively, but if he's active for this game and they've got their top two corners with really only one weapon that scares you in CeeDee Lamb, then I think it's obviously very, very good news for the Texans.
Sean, I want to thank you for joining the show, but also as the person from the 682 said, man, he's saying we suck, but he's saying it nicely.
Yeah, that is really kind of you, Sean. I really appreciate it.
I want to tell you I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
I'm a guest in your home. I take my shoes off when I come in the door. I don't put my feet up on the furniture unless I'm told I'm allowed to. You know, if you told me you want me to be a jerk before the interview, I would have been happy to do that. But no, that's, hey man, we were where you got 2 years ago. This is where we were 2 years ago. Sean and RJ did a crosstalk with me and Seth during the preseason in 2022, back when the Texans were a joke. And we made some mention when we were talking with them, like, yeah, we had Davis Mills on the show yesterday, and Sean and RJ just go, "Ooh, great get, fellas. Nice show. This is a show that gets jerked." So they're, It was really funny, but I'm like, boy. And now I'm like, yeah, here we go. 2 years later, now who's laughing, you know? Like,
boy, if you could name one thing
every week.
If you could name one thing that turned around the Houston Texans and why they're over 500, what would it be from 2022?
He's going to say ownership.
The hiring of D'Amico Ryan. Unquestionably. That got the whole city back on board. He's credible. He's a great defensive coach. And he's what, you know, we've got a lot of new faces here that chose to come here, and D'Amico Ryans has a ton to do with that. Now, C.J. Stroud is the most valuable entity in that building over there, but if you're asking me what turned the tide, like the fork in the road, getting D'Amico Ryans, all of a sudden there was massive belief that this thing could get pulled out of its rut. And it has. It's not, you know, not Super Bowl yet or anything like that, but it's certainly moving in the right direction.
And you guys were lucky that Carolina took Muggsy Bogues with the first pick.
Yes, we are glad that the Carolina drafted a 13-year-old that looks like he just walked out of the arcade as their first.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. All right, look, we need to get a podcast with you and Mike going separately. But thank you very much, seriously, Sean. You can hear him 6 to 10 a.m. on 6:10 a.m. in Houston. Appreciate you jumping on with us very, very much.
For sure. Tell Gavin I said hello.
I will.
Which
and
one? Dawson?
I think he meant Spittle, but I guess we can say hello
to both of them.
Yeah. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where Mike is unreasonably happy that he found somebody to trash Bryce Young along with him. Coming up next, comeback corner. The numbers behind Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are huge. Did you watch? And the greatness that is John Jones. Next on The Fan.
Bucci sees the contest 80-72, while judges Lawrence Cole and Jesse Reyes see it 79-73, declaring your winner by unanimous decision, Jake Elgato Paul!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, Mike, you just brought up something that really amused me throughout the broadcast, is Ronello kept talking about, because Roy Jones Jr. is like, I think there's something wrong with his hands or his gloves. And Ronello's like, no, he does that pretty consistently throughout the history of
his
fights.
You're saying his mouthpiece was messed up.
Yeah, and he was like, there's something off with his mouthpiece. And then afterwards they asked him and he goes, no, yeah, I bit my gloves a lot throughout my career. And I bet Marco Ronello was like, yeah.
He has a biting fixation.
In your,
it's true. Anything near his mouth gets bit.
In your
ear.
Food.
In your face, Roy Jones, is toothbrush. What I was going to go with. Oh, my God. All right. Did you guys watch the fight? Mike, I know you said
I tried.
Fell asleep.
Netflix messed it up.
Okay.
I got 25%.
Sorry.
Sometimes I would get it for a second when Logan Paul was in the locker room, and then it went back to like buffering. And
did you get to see Mike Tyson's butt?
No, I saw it on YouTube. Okay. Or not on YouTube, on Twitter X. I was like, oh man. And they stuck on it for a while, didn't they? Until that camera guy pulled his, camera up. And then finally they just got the backside of him.
Yep.
I was like, why? Hey, camera guy, You saw his butt the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know. You knew he had a bare butt, and you're like, I'm going to get this on camera. It was intentional from the camera guy. He knew the whole time this interview, when he turns around, there's an ass.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe Mike Tyson just walked up front first, and
he'd
he never
been
saw
in that
it.
Room.
They, the they whole time. To, He's like, no,
to,
I saw him.
They have to prepare for that. That interview, the guy was in there for at least 10 minutes and knew what was on and off.
The that seriously felt like it was directly out of a Naked Gun movie. Like the whole interview was serious, and then you had the awkward kiss moment. It's a son, I get it, that's fine, but it was like a kiss, and then he walks off bare-butted. And if there are listeners out there that have never seen the Naked Gun movies, I have a feeling that Alec might have never seen it. I'm not sure. Have you ever seen a Naked Gun?
Those.
Have you ever seen a Naked Gun movie, Alec?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, all right. Alec's one of those that he's very learned. But there are people out there that never seen it. That's the kind of humor that it's built on. That stuff that's going on in the back of the background that you're like, was that dude just carrying a ladder naked? And you're like, yeah, he was.
I'm curious how this will be quantified, because the Netflix people gave a very disingenuous reaction where their execs were like, oh, I heard there were some minor technical glitches, but we all consider this a success. And I'm like, I don't know if a minor technical glitch is the way I would put it. But on the flip side, about 60 to 65 million homes worldwide tuned in. That's 72,000 people in the stadium. Like, it feels like the event, maybe not the Netflix part of it, but the event itself was a huge success. So for everyone's pissed off about how boring the fight was, this is the reason that this will happen again and again and again, because Jake Paul is at least the number two draw in boxing.
Meet me at 3:00 at the flagpole, and everybody meets up, right? Because they want to see something stupid happen.
A slap fight.
Yeah. I've never watched Jake Paul box before. I did watch some of it the next morning.
Okay.
Because then it didn't buffer in the morning when nobody wanted
to
watch it.
Did you see the co-main with the women fighting?
No, I don't like watching women box.
Oh, okay.
Dude, it was awesome.
Because that fight actually was
I don't like
really
watching
good.
MMA. It's not okay. A woman thing.
They
it's
just
like,
stood there and beat the
for
crap
some
out
reason,
of each other.
I don't like women hitting each other in the face. Not that I love watching men do it, but like I can't watch MMA stuff. Like I just
okay, I gotcha.
Women or men. I just did that goes past my line of violence.
Okay, I gotcha.
So no, I didn't, but I even forget what I was going to say. Oh, I never watched Jake Paul fight before.
Okay.
He's not that good. It's fine that what he's doing, and I get his popularity. I'm not trying to take anything away from his popularity and how he's fooled the world, or at least the American public, into giving him a lot of money.
Yes.
But he's not very good.
No, I agree with that. I see somebody say this, and I want to get y'all's thoughts. I guess I don't view it from this perspective at all. Somebody just texted in from the 817. Guarantee it was a bunch of 10-day trial users and they canceled right away. I just assume like a lot of people have Netflix and then they all complained and they're like, I pay, I don't know, $14.99 or $6.99 for this. What a ripoff. And I'm like, do you have Netflix because this fight was going to be on there? Or are you just happy that this fight was going to be on the streaming service that you already had? So I don't know if I view like a mass of defections from Netflix for this.
It stunk having to try and, you know, go through it. But I'm going to keep Netflix for, you know, Stranger Things and all those things. I'm not leaving for it. And it was a good trial run for the NFL to see and say, hey, we need to buy some more servers, fellas. By the way, the best part of the Serrano fight was when Rosie Perez, after three rounds, was like, do you think that the blood is causing problems with her vision? You're like, she's been bleeding for three rounds. They've said it multiple times, yeah. Rosie. They've already said that. Now you're asking.
Well, and then, Ryan, I don't know if you had a rooting interest in this. It seems like everybody was rooting for Mike Tyson. Rosie Perez felt like she went silent for like the last six rounds until finally she was like, this is just sad. Like, did you feel sad watching this, or were you like, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen? Good for Mike Tyson for making $20 million.
I felt slightly embarrassed because I had to spend most of that fight telling my 10-year-old son who Mike Tyson was.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not that old fart that's on the, that's Woo! Barely shuffling the ring right now. I mean, it was rough.
It was. Now, I want to point this out, too, because we were talking about the success of this event. This is crazy. So the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight drew a live gate of $17.8 million. That doubled the previous Texas gate record for combat sports, including MMA, including Canelo. The high there was $9 million. This was also higher than any non-Las Vegas UFC gate in history, other than when McGregor and Alvarez fought in New York. So, like, tons of people were there. They made lots of money. Mm-hmm. Lots of people tried to... Did everybody get stuck 25% buffering?
I mean, obviously, yes.
Okay. There were a lot of those moments.
But specifically at that number.
Yeah, like, 25.
I'm glad they didn't trick me into being like, it's up to 97%. You might get it.
But you could back out of it, like just back out to the home screen and go back in so quickly that I was like, it's fine. And then, I don't know, it was at some point in the Serrano fight that it just kind of seemed to fix. Yeah. And I was like, all right, well, we're back. So
I thought it was insulting by Netflix when they go, hey, do you want to try again? It could be your internet. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, the entire internet is talking about how your servers are failing. Don't tell me it's my internet that's not working.
Did you see Jerry Jones pre-fight up there with Michael Irvin?
I didn't see his interview.
Yeah, he's up there and they're talking about it. And he's going on about the over 70,000 people here. And then they asked him what this fight meant. And his microphone died on him. And there he is holding him dead microphone. And Kevin, we know how that goes.
Yep.
And Michael, like, he just powers through it. He just powers right through it and keeps talking. And I was thinking to myself, get your damn act together. And then Michael Irvin taps him on the shoulder and hands him his mic. And they say, can you repeat what you just said? And I was like, that must be embarrassing. It was. But at the same time, they did talk about how Mike McCarthy is going to be replaced, and Michael Irvin's going to talk Deion into being the next head coach. So,
did you like all the memes that were like, hey, Paul and Tyson, just because you were in the Cowboys stadium didn't mean you had to stink up the joint like they did. They hurt my feelings just a little bit. But speaking of, go ahead.
I don't know this because I didn't watch live and then watched three rounds the next morning. Did the fans... It seemed like they were very into it early on.
They were super in on Tyson's intro. They booed the hell out of Jake Paul. The first two rounds, when it was pretty competitive, they were in on it. But I think around like 5, 6, 7, the fans really turned and just booed that thing out of the building.
I was glad if it was a two-round fight, Tyson could have won.
Yeah.
Like Tyson was...
That's true.
Tyson was going like how Parsons goes. He's great in the first part of it, and then you kind of... Don't know where he is.
Around three,
Micah Parsons shot right there.
Oh,
can you believe it?
I can. And then also, if you could fire off cut number 6, a lot of people say the greatest of all time, John Jones, added to his resume on Saturday.
Good kick to the body by John.
It was his body, his side. And there was an amazing moment where I think it's Daniel Cormier is like, yeah, go after that liver. And the podcast man himself was like, I mean, that's true. It's on the other side. But I get what you're saying. So Joe Rogan just really like undercut his point, and I thought it was really funny. But this show as a whole, UFC 309, thought was thoroughly disappointing. Allen's own Bo Nickel, he won the fight, but he put on... a very boring performance, and the most amazing moment was right before the main pay-per-view started, and they show Donald Trump, president-elect, in the hallway with Kid Rock and Elon Musk and RFK Jr., I think, is in there.
The power group.
Speaker of the House. And that place, that place goes bananas.
Yeah.
And then, like, people are talking to Trump through the cage all night. Triple H is there, and I was like, this is what we've chosen. Mm-hmm. Like, I know people are going to be like, I didn't pick that. I'm just saying, the American public as a whole, this is what they've chosen.
MMA. They chose UFC. Yeah,
pretty much. And, like, all the elected officials were there, and it was weird. It was super weird.
I heard a comedian recently compare, it was Josh Johnson, compare being a Taylor Swift fan to being a WWE fan. Like, a lot of people have no clue what you're actually doing. But there's a lot of people out there invested in what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
And WWE has a lot more fans than you think. And then based on what you just said, UFC has a lot more fans than a lot of people think.
And for people that saying not fighting Tom Aspinall will hurt John Jones' legacy, I think there's something to be said for that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, plus the Dallas Wings get the number one overall pick. Next on The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.